A few months ago, I was in a group of people, some of whom knew I was a pastor, some of them didn't know I was a pastor. And I always love actually getting in groups of people when they don't know I'm a pastor. Because I find out once they know I'm a pastor, there are certain topics that no longer get talked about. So I prefer anonymity for as long as I possibly can. And in this group, most of the people didn't know I was a pastor. And the topic of church came up. Now I'm really interested, right? I want to know, what are you thinking? And this young lady, she pipes up and she says this: whenever I think of church, I think of cults. Aren't you excited to be part of a cult? And, you know, I responded to this with laughter. And I'll tell you why I laughed. It was just a natural response. I didn't think too much of it. But I laughed because, first of all, if I was a young adult living in Nanaimo with no experience in church and just hearing what media had to say about church, I'd probably believe the very same thing. So I understood. No judgment. Big deal. I also laughed because I knew I have done the exact same thing that she did many, many times. Spouted off my judgment about something that I didn't know much about and I was very confident in. And the point is this: we all judge. Do we not? We do. We all judge. And so when she said that, I laughed because I've done that. I've been there. I get it. I totally get it. We live in an age, of course, of instant outrage, where we can enjoy the anonymity of the internet. And my question is, as we start this series on judgment, the question that I ask myself, is why do we judge so quickly, so confidently, and so ignorantly? Why do we do that? It seems to be natural in us to just spew out these judgments without thinking about them much, as though our feelings are all we need to make a good judgment. You've probably heard people tell you, just go with your gut. It's the dumbest advice you could possibly give. Because I don't know about you, my emotions fly all over the place. And I can't trust my emotions to be a good guide when it comes to judging things. And the church, of course, has a bit of a reputation. You might not know this. The church has a bit of a reputation for being judgmental. Thank you. Yeah, there was the word, for being judgmental. In a recent survey, it was asked, whether judgmental accurately describes present-day Christianity. And this was a survey of the population as a whole. Guess how many people thought that judgmental accurately describes present-day Christianity? 87%. That did not surprise me. I'd be surprised if it surprised you, actually. When you talk to people and they think about church people, they think about judgmental people. What surprised me in the same survey was how many people in the church thought the same thing, and especially amongst young people. Get this. More than half of 16 to 29-year-olds agreed with that statement, that the church, that judgmental, accurately describes present-day Christianity. Our young people at NAC in that age category, can you imagine, over half of them think that NAC is judgmental. This is not good. This is not good news. This is not very encouraging. And in the same survey, less than half of church people described their church as demonstrating unconditional love. Less than half. May I remind all of us, Jesus said there would be one distinguishing factor of his church, and it would be what? Our love for one another. Said above all else, that would be the distinguishing characteristic of his church. So when fewer than half of churchgoers describe the church as displaying unconditional love, this is a problem. Now, That all being said, I do not believe for a moment that judgmentalism is confined to Christianity. This is a human condition. It's like we are hardwired to be judgmental. And while I'll admit that the church needs to grow up, and quite frankly, so does me need to grow up, I also believe that the church is the best equipped to handle this topic in the wisest possible way. And in fact, what we are going to discover in today's message is that we are to judge wisely. This series, as we dive into it, is based on Judge Judy, where all cases are determined in 30 minutes or less, which I think is a great kind of example for what we're talking about, these snap judgments. And maybe that's one of the reasons her show is so popular. We love it, making snap judgments that actually mean something. And she is so popular, as some of you, she's been in the news this last week, coincidentally, as she goes into her 25th year on the TV, 25 years. And apparently making snap judgments pays pretty good. In 2017, she earned a measly $147 million. Yeah. Man, kind of makes making snap judgments looks like it could pay off, right? Anyway, our hope this morning is that we at NAC would live wisely, that we would depend on God's Spirit in this modern, rapidly changing world. I believe NAC needs tools to navigate this world and to judge wisely. And that's what this series is all about. I want you, at the end of this series, to have the tools you need to navigate this very complex world that we live in. And that's what it's all about. Now, let's dive in. When it comes to what the Bible says about judgment, many people that we know can quote the Bible to you. And they will quote you three words. If you're good, if they're old school, they might quote you two. But for sure, they'll know these three words. They might not know anything else that Jesus said. They might not know the golden rule. They might not know the Lord's Prayer, but they will know these three words. Do not judge. And that is the end of the argument. Or so they hope. If you've ever been in these situations where you talk about moral right and wrong, the moral fabric of our society, do not judge comes up. And quite often, if you're anything like me, and they throw these three words at you, your brilliant response will be, because Jesus did say that. So how do you respond to do not judge? Well, I'm going to give you some ideas. This is kind of a bit of a sidebar. This is just for fun. But someone throws that out at you, do not judge. You can respond from a theological perspective and ask this question. Is this all that Jesus said about judging? Those three words. Do you know? You'll know by the end of the series. He had a lot more to say than three words on this topic. And I'll talk more about that on April 19th. You could look at it from a logical perspective, which is, are you judging me for judging? It's a logical fallacy if you're judging people for judging. It's self-refuting. Then there is the philosophical and moral question, which is, what's wrong with judging? What makes it wrong? Can you explain that to me? If you're so good at determining right from wrong, you should be able to tell me, why not judge? Now, it is while it's nice to quote Jesus when it's convenient, living your life without judging is, of course, ludicrous. You can't live your life without judging. Imagine living your life where every idea out there is considered equally valid. There is no right, there is no wrong. everything's good and everything's bad. We have a whole legal system based on judging. And their job is to determine truth from lies and fact from fiction. Can you imagine if we went to our judges and said, do not judge? This could be a potential problem, don't you think? Imagine living life without judging. You have to judge whether it's okay to eat that fruit that's been sitting on the counter for 4 weeks. Don't you? You judge, and so do I, we judge what events are worthy to go to. We judge whether that piece of clothing looks good on us or not. We judge what friends we want to hang around with. And most people would say, yeah, that's okay to judge those things. But when it comes to morality, three words, do not judge, right? And here's the surprise. We're going to find out the surprise of judgment is that we are to judge and we are to judge wisely. Now, in this series, we're going to, and this message this morning is just to wet your whistle. This is just an introduction. But in the coming weeks, we're going to look at judging ourselves, judging Christians, judging non-Christians, and finally, the final judgment. Doesn't that sound like fun? Yeah. I can tell you're excited about this. Yeah. Let's go way back. As we look at the topic of judging wisely, let's go way back to Solomon. And while a lot of people would think the Bible simply teaches do not judge, they'd be surprised. And maybe you'll be surprised this morning. I was surprised. Here's what King Solomon said back in the book of Proverbs. He said, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever you do, whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Develop good judgment. In other words, use wisdom when you judge. I mean, our very survival depends on it. You know, I mentioned fruit, but you got to determine whether that yogurt sitting out for 2 days is edible. You got to figure out whether people are trustworthy before you send your bank information to that Nigerian prince. You got to judge whether you should do the speed limit in a snowstorm. And when it comes to all these things, Solomon is saying, judge away. Fire away. Do it with wisdom. And to judge with wisdom, get advisors. Listen to all angles. I think King Solomon would cringe at the conspiracy theories that people believe today. Like the moon landing was faked. The earth is flat. Vaccinations will give you autism. My political party is only for smart people. The best response to coronavirus is to stock up on toilet paper. That Tim Hortons is a Canadian company. Conspiracy theories all over the place. We need to develop good judgment, wise judgment. We are to judge wisely, first of all. And Solomon says, make sure you develop good judgment. Now, I'm going to give us a few more pictures of judgment throughout the Bible, and I'm going to be skipping around a lot. We just read one here a few minutes ago, one that Jesus had to deal with, and this is the unquoted Jesus. While many people could quote Jesus saying, do not judge, here's a quote from Jesus that a lot of people will not quote. And the context here is that the religious people were hanging around Jesus and they didn't like some of the things that he was doing. He was healing on Saturday. That is the sacred holy day in Judaism. And they didn't like that he was healing on the Sabbath day, but Jesus called them out on it. They were judging Jesus, and Jesus said, hey, let's talk about this for a second. And he said these words, I did one miracle on the Sabbath and you were amazed, but you work on the Sabbath too. It's calling out these priests and rabbis and all that sort of thing. He said, when you obey Moses' law of circumcision, so in case this is a little confusing for you, according to the law, a Jewish male had to be circumcised on day 8. And if you were born on the right day, you had to be circumcised on the Sabbath, which is a holy day. And Jesus is saying, hey, look, man, you work on the Sabbath, and you're calling me out for working on the Sabbath? What's going on here? And Jesus points out that the tradition of circumcision began long before Moses, and then he goes on, for if the correct time for circumcising your son falls on the Sabbath, you go ahead and do it so as not to break the law of Moses. So why should you be angry with me for healing a man on the Sabbath? And watch his conclusion. Look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. He didn't tell them, don't judge. He said, do it correctly. Dig deeper. In other words, before you judge, do your homework. This is something that we often do not do. Jesus actually judged their ability to judge. Did you catch that? That sounds pretty judgy from the guy who said, do not judge, don't you think? He didn't say, stop judging. He said, do a better job of it. You're not thinking hard enough. If judging was a hockey game, he's saying, I'm not telling you to drop your hockey stick and go to the locker room. I'm telling you, do more drills. Work out harder. Get better at judging. Because you're not doing the work it takes to make a wise judgment. Looking beneath the surface is something that is often not done today. We are really good in our society at making snap judgments, are we not? And with the help of the internet, we can develop something called echo chambers. Have you heard this term, echo chambers? An echo chamber is where you gather around people, and this Facebook is awesome for this. You gather people around you who just tell you what you want to hear. And they all agree with you. And you never think outside that little bubble. And you convince yourself, if you gather enough people around you who agree with you, you think, man, I really must be right. Look at all these people who agree with me. And you never listen to another perspective, another point of view. You don't do any homework. Just assume you were right. It is very possible, church, that you and I are believing lies today because we haven't done our homework. We haven't gone beneath the surface. And this requires prayer and thought and meditation. We are to judge wisely. So, you're probably not going to hear too many people quote Jesus as saying, look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. That's not a real good soundbite. Do not judge. You're going to see that meme long before you see the other. So let's move on now to the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was dealing with people who were wondering about Paul's ability to figure out right from wrong. And they're asking the question of Paul, how can you judge what is right and wrong, Paul? What gives you the right? And now I'm going to tell you this passage that we're going to look at in just a moment. For those of you who do not know Jesus in this room, and those of you who don't know Jesus listening online, this passage is going to be fairly offensive. I just want to let you know right up front. It's going to sound very arrogant. And I'll try to explain as best I can what he's saying. Paul writes this. He says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who do not have the Spirit can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can, watch that word, evaluate. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. We understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. And before I move on, his point is this. If you want to judge wisely, follow Jesus. And I understand this sounds rather arrogant. and it's rather uncomfortable. I'm rather uncomfortable even bringing it up because it sounds so arrogant, but this is his point. He is saying that when we become followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And the Holy Spirit gives us a perspective that is broader than what we had before. Before we came to Christ, all we knew was what we could see and feel and touch and experience. He said, but when we come to Christ, our eyes are opened to a different and new reality, a spiritual reality. And so when it comes to judging right from wrong, good and bad, we have a much broader perspective. And that's his point. That's what he's saying, is if you want to be able to judge wisely, people who follow Jesus are in the best position to do that because they have the broadest perspective. And they have the help of the Spirit to guide them. Now, I understand that that sounds arrogant if you are not a follower of Jesus, but consider this. What if there is a spiritual world that is real and you cannot see? And when you become a follower of Jesus, you have access to knowledge about this spiritual world and help from God. Consider that possibility just for a moment. If that's true, if what we are reading in the Bible is actually true, then followers of Jesus are in the best position to make wise judgments because they have the help of the Spirit. Strangely enough, Paul is saying, he's not telling people to stop judging. He's saying, let the Spirit help you to judge wisely. This is the surprise of judging, is that the writers of the Bible actually encourage us to judge, to evaluate. Now that's one look, something that Paul said. I'm going to look at another one. And this one is uncomfortable, not for the unbelievers in the room, not for those of you who don't know Jesus yet. This is going to be uncomfortable for those of us who do. Because there's an example in the Bible of judging and judging another Christian. And I'm going to be talking more about that on April 5th. But, and I've talked about this example before. In the church in Corinth, there was a guy who was having sex with his stepmother. Ick. Yeah, I know. I get it. I hear you. That's not the uncomfortable part yet. It gets worse. The church celebrated this. They said, wonderful. Look at the freedom you have in Jesus to do whatever you want to do because it's all forgiven. Great. And Paul was having none of it. Paul was having none of it. And he says this. He writes to the church. And he says, even though I'm not with you in spirit, I'm not with you in person, I am with you in spirit. And as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man in the name of the Lord Jesus. Passed judgment? When he heard about this, shouldn't he have just retweeted Jesus' famous three words, do not judge, and walk away? Apparently he didn't get the memo. Said, I have already passed judgment on this man in the name of the Lord Jesus. You must call a meeting of the church. I will be present with you in spirit, and so will the power of our Lord Jesus. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will not be destroyed and he himself will be saved on the day the Lord returns. Boy, that sounds awfully judgy, does it not? And some of us in this room might be really choking on that. I get it. You're saying that doesn't sound like Jesus' do not judge. That doesn't sound like it's all good and we should just be happy with whatever people do. I already passed judgment, he said. And here's his point. Make the necessary judgments. Notice his motivation, though, in the judgment. Was this person's soul? His care for that person's eternal destiny. said, I will judge when it's necessary. And that example stands for us at NAC. When people's eternal souls are at stake, it is the most loving thing to do, to judge something as wrong. Let me ask you this question before you walk away in disgust. Have the scandals in the church in the last decades occurred because the church was too confrontational about sin in its ranks? I'll ask it again. Have the scandals in the church of the last decades occurred because the church was too confrontational about sin in its ranks? Oh, I didn't expect you to answer that out loud, but thank you. Because I came to the same conclusion. And I'll talk more about judging inside the church later. But I just wanted to show you an example that even the followers of Jesus in the Bible didn't just take Jesus' three words and go, well, that's all there is to say about judgment. As though that's the final say. Now, in order to judge wisely, according to what we've just read, the snippets that we've looked at this morning, there are two things that we need to do if we are to judge wisely. And first of all, we are to judge slowly. Whenever possible, take your time. Dig deep. It's easy to just look at the surface. And sometimes when we, it's so funny, sometimes when we read a news article, we think all there is to know about this topic came from that article. Very rarely is that the case. But aren't we good at making judgments based on one article? Or one meme? Or one story? Judge slowly. Get different angles. Listen, evaluate, avoid echo chambers. Understand alternate views. I'm still of the opinion that you can't really make a wise judgment until you can clearly articulate the opposite view. And probably more importantly, judge spiritually. Followers of Jesus have access to the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And the Word tells us so much of what we need to know. It tells us what is reality, spiritually. Being able to judge spiritually, by the way, means judging beyond our upbringing, beyond our education, beyond our experience, beyond our intelligence, beyond our biases, beyond our culture. Judging spiritually, in short, means being able to judge beyond you and beyond me. It's about what God has to say about an issue, not me. And this is the surprise as we look at, as we start our Judge Judy series, is that we are to judge wisely. And the gospel message, by the way, helps us in judgment in a couple of very key ways. And the gospel message says there is salvation for everyone who repents. And this is how the gospel message helps us to judge. First of all, the gospel message provides us with humility. Because in order to come to Christ, we have to understand that we are no better than anyone else. We don't have moral superiority to that homeless person we drive by downtown, or that awful boss that we have, or that person who deals in child porn. We do not have moral superiority over that person. It keeps us humble. And the most mature among us are the most in touch with the evil within ourselves. We have a greater glimpse of how dark we are and the capacity for evil inside of us. The gospel message keeps us humble when it comes to judging. And the gospel message helps us in holiness. Because in order to come to Christ, we have to repent. And repent means, in part, to agree with God. That what God says is right, and what God says is wrong is wrong. This is part of repentance. It's something that we do all of our lives because we spend all of our lives disagreeing with God. We don't like this. We think God's a little off his rocker sometimes and needs our correction, needs our wisdom. This is where repentance comes in. That God sets the standard, not our thoughts, not our emotions, not our biases, not our wants. God helps our judgments to be holy. He helps us to see where he stands on these issues. In our age of overabundance of information, it is so important that we judge wisely. Not all ideas are equal. And there is a pressure on all of us to call right wrong and wrong right. Having a relationship with Jesus allows us to avoid shallow judgments. We must judge. It's in our best interests to judge. And it's in the best interests of those around us to judge. My hope is, and our hope is as a church, that this series will help us see that God would have us judge for our sake and for the sake of those around us. And may our judgments be made slowly and spiritually with humility and wholeness or holiness. And the fact that we must judge is the surprise of judgment. The Bible writers, I'll conclude with this, the Bible writers didn't say stop judging. They said do a better job of it. Do a better job of it. That's the calling for us at NAC. That's the calling. That's, I want you to walk away with that one thought. I need to do a better job of judging. Because my well-being depends on it, and the well-being of those that I love depend on it. Be a better judge. Judge wisely. No doubt, after a message like this, some of you might be thinking, yeah, but. And you should have some of those. It's good. That's why this is a whole series. So relax, and we're going to walk through some many more things that the writers of the Bible had to say about judgment. Today was merely an introduction. But I am hoping that we all at least can get the idea that there's more to this topic than three words that Jesus said. And Jesus had more to say in that same passage, by the way. And we'll get to that later. We live in a very complex world. And we have so much information coming at us so fast. We have to be discerning. We have to be able to make wise judgments. And that's my hope for you. And for me, is that when it comes to judging, we'll be much better at it at the end of this series. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who allows us and empowers us to make judgments that are beyond our own brains and beyond our own emotions. Because often what we think is right is wrong, and often what we think is wrong is right. And so, Lord, in a culture that elevates individuality and elevates our own sense of rightness and wrongness, Lord, may we depend on you even more and listen to your counsel as we navigate our lives. Lord, may we be humble before you. May we be humble before people. And may we not depend on ourselves, but depend on your Spirit. Oh, how we need your help, God. 2020 is complex. We need you, God. NAC needs you. More of you, God. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything, there'll be people up here to pray for you after the service. Other than that, God bless you.